So once again, we see a blurring of the lines, kind of a graying of, at least in terms of identity. Not that Clement has confused Jews for Gentiles and Gentiles for Jews, but within the corporate identity of Israel, he's very comfortable placing the Corinthians in that identity, and even using the same terminology and saying things like our fathers, God of our fathers, and we're a special people, a chosen people. Anyway, may he grant to every soul that has called upon his magnificent and holy name. And this is what Clement is bestowing on you all, okay? Because you studied the whole epistle, so you get this blessing too, right? So this is your bracha. May you receive faith, fear of God, peace, patience, steadfastness, self-control, purity, and sobriety, that they may be pleasing, that they may be pleasing to his name, that you may be pleasing to his name through our high priest and guardian Jesus Christ. So this list sounds kind of vaguely familiar from a lot of different apostolic lists like this, where they lay out these virtues, such as, of course, the famous fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5. Also, you've got something similar in the beginning of 2 Peter, and there's some other places. This is what Clement's asking for. And all of this comes to us through our high priest and guardian, Yeshua the Messiah. Everything, every experience with God comes through this priesthood, through the venue of this priesthood. And then he throws in a doxology, through whom be the glory and majesty and might and honor to him, to Hashem, both now and forever and ever. Amen. And that's our ninth, count them, nine doxologies so far in this epistle. And we just have a few closing remarks here. Now send back to us without delay our messengers. And he gives us their names, which is awesome. Claudius Ephibus, Valerius Beto, and Fortunatus. The first two guys we don't know. They're just like really common Roman names. Claudius and Valerius. A lot of people were going around with those particular names. But Fortunatus, we do know a Fortunatus. And you can find, well, let's go look at him. He's in 1 Corinthians 16. Which is interesting, isn't it? Because Clement's writing an epistle to the Corinthians. Paul's writing an epistle to the Corinthians. And in 1 Corinthians 16, Paul's epistle to the Corinthians, he mentions this Fortunatus guy. In his closing remarks, he says, I rejoice over the coming of Stephanus and Fortunatus and Achaicus, because they have supplied what was lacking on your part, for they have refreshed my spirit and yours. Therefore, acknowledge such men. So what Paul is saying is, Paul's in 1 Corinthians, he's responding to an epistle he received from Corinth. Those were the three guys who carried the epistle from Corinth to Ephesus, where Paul was staying. One of them was a young man, I assume a young man, named Fortunatus. I think it's the same guy. Because, you know, we're not, it's not that, it's not been, it's not impossible. Paul wrote, was writing here in the 50s, and Clement's writing in the 90s. If you're a young man in the 50s, you could be an old man in the 90s. Yeah? So I think it's the same guy. And it makes sense, because if Fortunatus is in Rome now, and yet he has these old roots with the Corinthian community. In fact, he knew the community back when it was Paul's community still. And he was running mail back and forth on behalf of the Corinthians to Paul. That makes the letter carry a lot more weight when he arrives with another epistle for the Corinthians. So yeah, I think it's the same guy. So send them back without delay, in peace and with joy, so that they may report as soon as possible that the peace and concord which we have prayed for and desire has been restored, right? That we too may rejoice, that we may all the more quickly rejoice over your good order. And then the closing verse. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you, which is an apostolic greeting. I don't know if people say that anymore. Maybe some pastors do. Grace be with you. What does it mean, grace be with you? Does the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you? It's, when you remember, grace is favor. It's God's favor. God found favor in Yeshua. You know, he found favor in Moses. So if you were to say, may the favor that God found in Moses be with you, if you said this to the Israelites, they'd be like, yeah, that's for sure. You know, hopefully we don't get, abandoned here in the wilderness or something, or dumped down a pit or, you know, a plague or something like that. Because Moses was always using his favor to intercede on behalf of the people. He said, if you found favor with me, don't destroy this people. Don't abandon this people. So when we say the same thing, we say, may the favor of Christ be with you. It's Hashem's found favor in Messiah. May that favor work on your behalf. That's what it means. So the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you and with all people everywhere who have been called by God through him. Through whom be the glory, honor, power, majesty, and eternal dominion to him for everlasting, to everlasting. Amen. 10th doxology. And the end of the epistle to the Corinthians. Wow. All right, well, second Clement's not as good. You know, sequels are never as good as the original, right? Scholars agree that second Clement isn't actually written by Clement. It's a very old sermon. It's interesting in its own right. It's a very old Christian sermon, but it's actually not written by Clement. So here's the question you're dying to ask. Well, whatever happened? Did they did they get their situation resolved or not? And according to what we can find in Eusebius, the letter was received, and they did follow the advice of the letter. So I've got two passages for you from Eusebius. The first one is written by Eusebius in the 4th century. He's just talking about this epistle. He says, there is an extant epistle of this Clement which is acknowledged to be genuine and is of considerable length and of remarkable merit. He wrote it in the name of the Church of Rome to the Church of Corinth when a sedition had arisen in the latter church. We know that this epistle also has been publicly used in a great many churches, both in the former time and in our own, and of the fact that a sedition did take place in the Church of Corinth at the time referred to, Hegesippus is a trustworthy witness. So we'll go look at Hegesippus in a moment. But a couple things we learn from this. First of all, that Clement is universally considered to be reliable. Secondly, that even in the 4th century, it's still being read in the church. When something is read in the church, when Eusebius uses that language, that's the same thing we would say as is in the New Testament. Because there wasn't a New Testament at that time, of course. It's just like, if something is read in the church, it's considered canonical. So in the 4th century, in many churches, he says, in many churches consider 1 Clement canonical. In other words, should be in the New Testament. All right, well, we don't have to make that case. I mean, my opinion is like, I'm always for adding more books to the Bible. I always like sequels and, that sort of thing. Director's cut versions and whatever, So... yeah, I think so. Then he also makes reference to Hegesippus. He says, Hegesippus, who, and if you remember Hegesippus, do you remember Hegesippus when we studied, Tales of the Apostles, and we were learning about the martyrdom of James? Hegesippus is the guy who brings us that whole story of the martyrdom of James. Hegesippus was a second century Jewish believer who had contact with Jewish believers in the land of Israel, and then made this big journey to Rome. And in this journey to Rome, he tried to visit as many churches as he could on the way, as many assemblies as he could stop at, and he was kind of taking their pulse on the way. And the reason he was stopping was because he was chronicling. He was making a chronicle of the succession of bishops and that sort of thing at each of these places. Anyway, so Eusebius has Hegesippus's book, which is called Memoirs. Actually, five books. It's five books long. It's called Memoirs. We don't have it, unfortunately. But Eusebius had it. He had it there in the library at Caesarea, probably. And so he says, Hegesippus, in the five books of Memoirs, which have come down to us, has left a most complete record of his own views. In them, he states that on a journey to Rome, he met a great many bishops, and that he received the same doctrine from all. It is fitting to hear what he says after making some remarks about the epistle of Clement to the Corinthians. His words are as follows. So here's Hegesippus from Memoirs. It says, "And the church of Corinth continued in the true faith until Primus was bishop in Corinth. I conversed with him on my way to Rome and abode with the Corinthians many days, during which we were mutually refreshed in the true doctrine. In every succession and in every city that is held, which is preached by the Torah and the prophets and the master." So Hegesippus is a good, he's on our side, he's on our team. And he's a good witness. And so Hegesippus states that order was restored in Corinth. And I had another source I can't find anymore that even talks about how the Epistle of Clement is read in Corinth, or was read in Corinth on a regular, they put it on a regular rotation, a regular cycle. So, yes, the epistle was received, order was apparently restored, the old guard was put back in, and the change, the apostasy or whatever, was forestalled. At least in the early second century, Hegesippus is able to give us a good report that Corinth, like all the other congregations he visited, are still preaching the Torah and the prophets and the teaching of the Master. All right, so what'd you learn from Clement?